You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Something strange is in the air. On the eve of Lollapalooza 2021, we have cancellations, additions, confusion, all reign supreme. It's usually which bands this year that matter, but in 2021, it's more like which fests this year that make it. We promise it won't be a doomsday episode. Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, The What Podcast starts right now. You're always trying to do your best. Don't worry about what happens next. Cause it never ends. It's just begun. We crash into the set. It's on. So gather round. Tell everyone. We're in the end.
I'm gonna go Grape Ape. I'm reaching through the microphone. I'm gonna stomp your motherfucking ass.
What did I do?
Nothing. Oh. You got me out of bed.
Okay. There. It is 7 o'clock at night.
It's 8 o'clock.
Okay.
I've had a bad day. I've had a bad weekend.
Why? What's the trouble, Bubble?
Oh, my computer. You don't even want to know.
That's it? That's what's bothering Dad. Is his computers? Is your VCR down too? What else is broken? Can you not get the dehumidifier on?
I got a.
Did they shut down the early bird buffet?
We got there. The shrimp was. The crab meat was gone. All of the crab meat was gone.
And the steak tasted like your mother.
The steak had been sitting out in the heat lamps forever. Tasted like your mother. I wish it tasted like your mother.
What is the? What is everything okay in your world?
I think so. I mean, what's the matter? All in all, I should tell you. I got a call from a guy who's a living rock star who wanted to move 6,700 vinyl records tomorrow in the heat. And he needed a couple of teenagers. And so I'm like, now I'm pimping teenage boys.
Cut that. Get that. Somebody get that. Grab that one forever. I'm pimping teenage boys.
Now I'm pimping
Welcome
teenage
to the
boys.
2022 What Podcast T-shirt. I'm pimping teenage boys.
I need you to help me schlep some records around. You think I'm kidding? I'm
pimping teenage boys.
This was a 2-hour part of my day.
What, did you get the records moved?
It's tomorrow. Yeah, I think okay. I did, actually. All I right. know people.
Now,
I
are these records people. Any good, or are they just all one record?
It's actually Kings of Leon. It's their new record. They need somebody to help get them out to their fans. And
Well, the way that it's selling, I don't think you're going to need to worry about 60
years. No, these records. Are sold. These are sold.
Oh, wow,
these
that's are stunning. So what are you doing with Kings of Leon records?
There is the question. Why am I involved?
I don't
and
I,
I'm glad to be, because you know, they reached out to me. They're friends of mine.
But Kings of Leon?
No,
are you holding out friends for the show? Are you holding out?
I'm not gonna say who, but yeah. That's
just random Kings of Leon new record. I don't I'm so confused. If you gave me 1,000 choices to try and figure out, which I would guess some sort of like really, you know.
Yeah, K-Tail. Ron, what are the old ones? The Ron from the 70s and 80s. Hey, it's the whatever. No, these are legitimate fan club records, Kings of Leon, that have to be processed, and I'm now involved.
You're the guy for me. I was thinking just about you, Barry. I thought about what I
Who
needed.
Who can move this product?
Well, I mean, you are the Swiss Army knife of everything in my life. So if the most random thing, let's be honest, if something were to happen and a very large, long vegetable found itself lodged in my body, you'd be the guy I'd call.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. Yeah, I have this thing. I have a thing. I have a thing.
I have a thing. I need you to come over with a bucket and a screwdriver. Can you help me out?
And
I
would. And my answer would be, I got a guy.
I'm on my way.
I got a guy. I got a phone number. Call this guy.
You know, you're also like the one thing that you do. All these things that you have at your disposal, and yet not one time have you been able to, you know, carry out a hit on another life. You no. just don't do hits.
As far as you know.
You're like the good
as
mob
far
boss.
As far as you know.
I guess, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that'd be the beautiful part, right?
Yeah, maybe that's why you keep building the pool over and over and over and over.
Maybe I got a whole parking lot full of hits. Well, you don't know.
Aside from your life being strange, do you feel something strange?
By the way, have you hit record on this? Because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. I just want to make this good stuff.
Oh, great stuff, yeah. I mean, I'm pimping teenage boys. It's going to live forever. If your life is weird, do you feel anything strange happening in the air right now?
I feel a ton, yeah.
Something feels very odd. Now, the only information that I have, I'm going to say this straight up, I've put out there on Twitter, the Lollapalooza people are very, very nervous. They're wringing hands nervous. There was a feeling earlier in the week that the mayor was going to put a mask mandate on the festival. That looks like that is not going to happen. They, of course, are demanding you have a 20 or 72-hour test, which means a test 72 hours previous before you get into the festival, which means if you got a test on, say, Wednesday, you need a test before you go back in on Sunday. This was described to me originally when they put the lineup out was nobody's going to enforce this. They're not even going to bother. So it's all for show. Literally, the quote was, "It was all for show." It ain't for show anymore. I'm leaving for Lollapalooza. If I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm leaving for Lollapalooza on Wednesday morning, and by Thursday when I get to the gate, I hope to find the longest line that you could ever imagine, because if the longer the line is, Barry, the more that they're actually checking these things and then putting a wristband on you that says that you are cleared and tested negative or shown a vaccine card.
You and I talk how often? Every day?
Well,
every
not enough. Days? I didn't know that you were schlepping teenage boys.
I didn't know either at the three. I don't admit that to a lot of people. But we talk, what, every 2 days? 3 days, maybe. And this conversation,
my mother's not listening right now.
Okay, so we very randomly, uh-huh. and we do. It's usually because you owe me money. Does that help?
Sure.
This conversation changed how quickly? A week ago?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago at most? And man, like I told you earlier today, I don't want to be.
You don't want to be doom and gloom. I know.
I don't want to be doom and gloom. I don't want to be Chicken Little. I don't want to be it's the end is nigh and all that. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy. But your question 3 minutes ago, how does it feel?
Something feels strange.
Something feels strange.
Well, the thing, I've done radio for 21 years, and in the capacity that I'm in now, I've been for, I guess, 12 years now. I've never felt, you know how like you just feel the calmness before the hurricane? I guess I know this now living in New Orleans. There's just this weird, docile calmness across the city before a storm hits. That's what it feels like. And now, granted, I'm making this clear. The Lollapalooza information that I shared is completely independent than anything else. I have no information about anything other than that. And that's what's really scary. That's what's weird and maybe not scary, but it's bizarre. It surely is bizarre. The reason why, you know, this show in by itself is a little late on our schedule is because we've been waiting for a schedule to drop.
Exactly.
The schedule, by all accounts, you know, should have come out by now. That's strange. Not unheard of. Maybe we're reading too much into it, but man, something just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and part of it is because we got Olympics going on with people getting sick. I mean, we got golfers, we've got stars, we've got people. I feel creepy even talking about it because, like I said, I don't want to be that guy.
So Lollapalooza, I think, if I had to guess, whatever happens this weekend at Lollapalooza is going to be...
I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I hate to use this analogy again, but it's going to be a major domino. If you see this thing, a complete, you know, clusterfuck as far as an organizational thing, getting people in and out, 120,000 people in and out of a festival grounds, with vaccine cards, positive COVID, negative COVID tests, et cetera, on a daily basis. And then the aftermath, the next 3 weeks after, if there's a super spreader event that happened to happen in Grant Park, you're going to, I don't feel good about any of this. You know, I've been told very clearly that the mayor of New Orleans does not want Jazz Fest to happen. She doesn't feel as though she's got the bandwidth with the police department. She doesn't feel as though it's a public health concern. You know, there's some political things in there and that she may just not like Jazz Fest. So, you know, Lord knows that's the kind of woman that she is, but, it's been pretty open that she wants them to cancel Jazz Fest. And what does Jazz Fest do? Goes and adds another day.
I've never heard of this band. Who was it they added? I've never heard of them.
The Strolling Drones.
Yeah, some teeny tiny little nobody. Yeah,
I want to get to that here in a bit. Because
I know we'll come back
I've
to that.
Some,
but no, I think you raised an unbelievable point that I think kind of gets lost in the mix. Us, even with me, or I won't say you. I'll say me. It's not just about the vaccine and the card and the whatever, you know, do we feel safe and all that, which is huge. I don't mean to dismiss that, but the reality of it, and our guys at Ruham, you know, and you sent me a text giving them full credit. What a great show they had. They touched on some stuff that you and I, because we don't go that route, we don't do general admission, never thought of. But the reality of it, and I think you mentioned it earlier, how do you get 80,000 people in and out of a festival site? And do you do that comfortably? You know, we all just want to think about being inside, having a good time shoulder to shoulder watching the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. We don't, you and I have talked about it, but we haven't really focused on it. How do you make that work?
Well, to play devil's advocate from all of this, this could all be very, very bad come Lollapalooza weekend and the aftermath from it. But the difference between Lollapalooza, ACL, and then Bonnaroo is that Bonnaroo is self-contained. And if Bonnaroo
But you still
got to
get them inside. That's my point.
Right, but what I'm saying, but you're not... Let me put it this way. Once you're inside, though, at Bonnaroo, it's self-contained.
True.
Now,
fact.
Now, if there is a world where all of the sudden Bonnaroo says you have to be vaccinated to show up, the clock is ticking on making that a reality, because you can't say that 2 weeks before the festival.
Yeah,
because it takes somebody it
takes 4 weeks.
Yeah, you got to get somebody the full 4 to 5 weeks to make this work,
right.
And they're out of time when it comes to that.
And our friend, I can't think of his name. I will. From
Stevie
Canada.
Wonder.
Our friend Stevie Wonder from Canada has already said Canada's closing their borders. He can't make it. He was a guest on the show.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, I saw that. Oh my
really?
God. You know me. I'm terrible with it. His name is Bill or Jesse. Okay. I don't know. You know me. I'll think of it in a minute.
I hadn't heard
Madison,
that,
Madison okay. from Canada. Seriously, Madison.
Okay.
Yeah, he said I can't make it because they closed the borders again. So that's another one. Your point is exactly right. We're 34 days, something like that, away. So if you haven't been vaccinated, it takes, depending on your vaccine, some are 4 weeks. Yeah, you're running out of days.
So I don't think that they are going to force you to be vaccinated, because I don't think they have the kind of time, but they could force you to show a negative test before you get there.
Sure.
That would be new, and maybe that's something they're trying to work out. Again, I think I would feel more safe in Bonnaroo's space if everyone that walked in, for the most part, was honest about their either vaccination status or their negative COVID test. I don't necessarily feel that safe with Chicago and Lollapalooza, when you can intermix, in and out, in and out, switching wristbands, new people coming in every day, day pass after day pass. You know, with Bonnaroo, once your people are there, those people are going to be there the entire time. You're not going to be, there's not that many randomly new people showing up.
Yeah, fair point. That's a good point. And if you got in, we would assume, yeah, all right. I get that. I'll go with that.
So that's why I think that there's some sort of difference between Bonnaroo and Lollapalooza. So again, this is all to play devil's advocate. At the same time, though, the whole point that I'm trying to make is there is eerie silence here.
Yes.
And there's not just eerie silence from Bonnaroo. There's eerie silence from everybody.
Everybody.
In a way that I feel it across the entire industry. I don't feel it just from Bonnaroo.
No, that's what I was saying earlier. That's why I brought up Olympics. Lala, which you leave, this week for, depending on when people are hearing. Yeah, no, I get it. I totally agree. The silence is, it's terrible cliche, but the silence is pretty deafening, because we're not hearing it from a lot of people. And
then on top of it all, put the silence in one basket, and then in the other basket is the total confusion about so much that is happening this year. Not only are facts changing on the fly, and they're obviously having to rearrange things as they go, and I'm sure every day comes a new argument for this, and then a new argument that completely is the opposite of that.
Right.
So I can't even imagine to untangle all of that. But then you're putting new policies in place. You're putting new organizational things in place. The way to get in and out of Bonnaroo is going to be completely different. I hate to be like baffled about this, but I'm baffled. who's running the place right now?
The word I got that from some of our insiders, and that sounds so like I'm, you know, my guy inside told me, I don't mean it to sound like that.
Inside Ian. We call him Inside Ian.
Inside Ian, but that's what it sounds like. And I don't mean it to be like that. But what the word I got was the people who were making the changes are making changes. So what was there yesterday has already changed. So they're making it up. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it to sound like, you know, they don't know what they're doing, but everything keeps changing.
Yeah.
And
in a normal year, that would be startling. But in this year,
exactly.
In this year, it's understandable. But at the same time, I still haven't figured out, you know, frankly, C3 is a major entity, and they know what they're doing when it comes to running Lollapalooza. But sometimes, even with them, it feels like they're walking around without any sort of direction whatsoever. And just hoping to God this thing doesn't go bad. And maybe, frankly, Barry, maybe that's the best that we could have hoped for.
Well, I'll put it this way. If you were in charge, what would you be doing? I mean,
I would be freaking the fuck out.
Yeah. Let's be honest. You think you know what you're doing. Right?
In what department do you think I know?
Everything. Okay. Everything. I mean,
I don't know if that's true.
You put events on. I've been involved in putting events on. We'd like to think we know what we're doing. Then nobody knows nobody knows how to do this because it's never been done before.
I hope that anybody who is, you know, you do, I'll put it this way. I hope that nobody thinks that we're saying this as a negative.
No, I'm not.
Pointing it out is not the same thing as criticizing it.
I am not. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. I am absolutely not. My point is nobody's ever done this before. And, you know, the only comparison I can put to it is my industry, newspapers. We did it for 200 and something years and we printed money. I mean, we literally printed money.
And you were there the day it started.
I was there when we ran the first dollar bill off the printing press. And then the internet happened and it was like, we don't know what we're doing. And that's what it feels like.
And honestly, it's been that way every day since, hasn't it?
Exactly. We don't know what we're reacting. We're not acting. Yeah. And this feels like, actually, I hadn't thought about it, but that's exactly what it feels like. When we come out of this with festivals, we don't know. And I think I said that to you a week or so ago. It feels like it's a great opportunity for a restart for a lot of these festivals, things that they thought they should have fixed that they don't like, whatever. This is a great opportunity for them to fix. And I think they're going to do that. And I don't blame them. But could I sit here and predict to you what those are? No.
But maybe I'm thinking about this all wrong, though. You know, Lollapalooza is happening in 48 hours. 48 hours is about the time, around about panic time, in probably any festival. You don't really know. You have a good idea, and you have a good handle on most things, but you don't know how everything's going to go. You're worried about weather. You're worried about crowds. You're,
right.
You know, worried about, you know, a random guy from the top of a building shooting you. You know, you got security measures and things. Like, there's real concerns that you're panicked about. So maybe if you're Bonnaroo or any of these other festivals that are still holding on to the fall and hoping to God that it works, maybe you're just taking your time. Maybe this is much ado and more thought about from us. Maybe we think about this much more than they think about it. Maybe they see the world happening in front of them. They see the calendar. They've got some time and there's no rush. They've got a sold out festival. They don't need to put out, you know, the schedule. They don't need to do anything. They don't need to put out press releases. They don't need to talk to us. They don't have to do any of this stuff. So they could be sitting here for the next, you know, 3 weeks and still be fine. Let's see how it plays out. Let's not panic and figure it out, you know, this time, you know, 3 weeks from now.
I would have agreed with you a while ago. The difference to me is, we're making this up. We are completely making this up, but so are they. I think you can count on the fans. I think in a weird way, the difference is this year you can count on the fans because the fans are ready to come. I think in the past that would have been your number one concern. Are we going to get the numbers? And maybe I'm wrong. I think the fans are coming. I think what's different is the other side.
It's the artist hesitation.
Yeah. I don't think that has ever been an element.
I just heard a story today.
Year it's like, oh my God, the artist, maybe they don't come.
I just heard a story today. And I can't believe I didn't lead with this. So I heard a story today about a major artist playing Lollapalooza. I will not say who it is because it will... a major artist playing Lollapalooza that the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, asked to meet. And this artist said no.
Yeah.
Not politically. It wasn't a political thing. They're on the same side. They believe all the same things. And she got a big no.
Yeah.
Why? Because this person has said, nobody gets in my bubble except for my closest, my touring staff and my management and my band.
I think
that's nuts to me.
I mean, if you went 1, 2, 3, you know, artists used to be 3 because the money was there. And then if you were superstar, you raised to the top. But otherwise, it was 1, 2, 3. And now I think artist is 1. And I think promoters and attorneys and all that becomes 2. And I think 3 is way down. And I could be wrong, but that's the way it feels to me. All of a sudden, we know that the fans are going to come, but the artists are questionable and becoming more and more questionable. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like, you know, the other becomes, you know, like you said.
Do you remember when Major League Baseball went on strike in the 90s, in like 1996? Yeah. And all you heard from the top guys, like, we're going on strike for the little guy. We're going on strike for the minor league players. You know, sometimes I feel like these artists are coming to these festivals and performing just so the little guys can still get a paycheck. You know, what do the Foo Fighters need to do this for? You know, they've had COVID break out into their the group already. They had to cancel shows in L.A.
Yep, for one guy.
For one guy. They don't have to do this.
Right.
But, you know, they're putting themselves out there because they really hope that, you know, Cannons makes a, you know, $1,500. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking.
Maybe they are. I don't know. But it's not about the fans. And that's not ugly. I'm just saying now we know the fans are coming. I'm just saying the pyramid is flipped. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's flipping even more and more every day.
Yeah, this what's happening with the numbers in New Orleans just yesterday, there were 700 cases of COVID, and I know there are breakthrough cases. I just want to say this one thing. This is the paradox of our time, is that everything becomes political, and the things that shouldn't be political have been politicized. And you know, then who politicized the politicization becomes politicized. You can't even associate blame correctly anymore.
Yeah,
so,
no, I actually heard somebody say it's flipped now that the people who refuse to get the vaccine because they're getting sick are now the ones getting it because the GOP is losing voters because they're dying.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to throw politics. I just thought, wow. Didn't see that coming.
I mean, it's just nuts because the right will say the left politicized it. The left will say the Donald Trump politicized it. So even the politicization is getting politicized.
Correct.
It's become so, it's such a mind screw. But here, like at the end of the day, you have, I was in a text thread where somebody sent an article that said 27 people died that were vaccinated, died of COVID in Tennessee. 27 people. The exact same thing that was linked, right, in that news article. It was all from the same story. I found a link that said 98% of all COVID cases are from unvaccinated people. Those are the two headlines. And if you if you dug down deep, the headline that read 27 cases in Tennessee of breakthrough deaths was by Sinclair Broadcasting, which was owned by a Republican. And the article that I found was written by Scripps, which is the left version of Sinclair Broadcasting. We can't even get the fucking story right. You know, we're telling the same story, but we've got the completely wrong headline. Everybody's got their own headline. Everybody's got their own different version of what they're looking at. At the end of the day, we're trying to look out for each other. And the whole point of this is like we're looking out for each other. This, I've gotten to the point, Barry, that I did the I got the shot because of other people. Now I'm feeling like I got that shot from me.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, I got
the shot so I could go to Bonnaroo.
Well, yeah. Well, now I'm just like screw these people. They're not even trying. They're not even trying.
Yeah. Well, when the governor of Alabama is calling you out, something's wrong.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to see some people show up and discover a spine, but you know,
but point
it's
being,
better late than never, I suppose.
Point being, I mean, it's I don't know. It back to your original question, it feels weird. There's no question the electricity, the buzz, the whatever in the air feels weird.
I know, but if they were delaying the schedule and having a little bit of like, you know, missteps along the way with new procedures in any other year, would we be this worried about it?
Wait, I'm going to have to think about that.
Okay.
Because as I've told you, we're 42 days out or something like that, whatever the, you know, you're hearing this, I'm always worried about it at this point. I mean, at this point,
we're convinced
it's going to be the worst show ever.
You guys do this every year.
Oh, stop.
Have a group of people in our campsite.
Don't even act like you're not the leader of the puckered up the puckered up party. You are the absolute leader.
That's just not true. You guys get so worried that the moment that you show up, they're gonna look at you like you've got, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and that's what I'm worried about. But you're the one that showed up 2 years ago with your finger pointed at the guy who was trying to park us. This will never do. This is awful. And I'm like, Brad,
who won that conversation, by the way?
I did, because he was a friend from Chattanooga. Okay. We had already figured it out, and you showed up like grandpa. No. I'll show him. This is the worst. No. And we all do that. But anyway, this is, to your point, yes, we always do it. I always do it. And I'm like I said at the beginning, I am trying not to be, you know, things are bad, because every year we do it and we show up and it's great. It's never not great, as our friend Ken Weinstein said. And I mean, it really is.
It'll be fine. It will be, if it happens.
But I know there's going to be changes. And, you know,
what's your percentage of it happening?
Ooh, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. What is today? Today is July
27th. Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a solid 88-90% happening.
Wow. Okay. That's much more optimistic than I thought you'd go. I'm going 75.
But it's going to change.
You think it's going to change?
I think, ask me again on Sunday. I think Lollapalooza is huge.
Yeah.
I think Lollapalooza is a massive tell.
I'll be honest with you. You know, I'll kind of repeat this, you know, the people inside of Lollapalooza are panicked. They're, well, maybe I shouldn't say panicked. They are stressed out. They're wringing their hands. They're very concerned about this. I'm less, put it this way, the outcome of what happens with all the other festivals in the country, I think, has more to do with the, with watching how Lollapalooza organizes the entry and how they manage dealing with all the tests and the cards and the whatever versus the super spreader event.
I totally, and I think I tried to allude to that 10 minutes ago and probably did poorly, but that's exactly, I agree. I don't think it's as much about the numbers, though those will be key, as the organization of it.
That's right.
If it's a shit show organizationally, because of COVID, then it's going to be tough to do any of them.
If you don't think that if one of the top guys in C3 sees the mess that this could be, then they might do a magical, great job at this. They might do an incredible job that makes everybody look around and say, we need to do it like them. Possible. They're very capable people at doing this, no matter
they're
what
the
you
best.
Think about
they're,
them as
the best, yep.
As a lineup producer. Either way, they're very good at this. But if it goes bad, I can imagine one of the C's calling insert festival organizer here or Live Nation and say, let me tell you, this is damn near impossible.
Yeah.
This might
I
be
agree.
Impossible.
I don't think it will be canceled necessarily because, you know, 20%, 30%, whatever. I think it will be the logistics. And as related to that, it could be the bands that just say, we're not, you know. We're out.
Well, what I'm going to do is we're going to have a special show later this week. When I get to Lollapalooza, I'm going to try and put my eyes on as much as I can on Thursday, especially early when they first start, and then later on in the day. And then maybe when the gates open on Friday, I'll get a better sense of it too. And then sometime around Friday night, Saturday, maybe we reconvene and do a really quick show. Maybe even do it on Instagram and do like an Instagram Live or something, Barry. You know, we just go through some of the things that I've seen that are different, maybe problems, celebrations, et cetera, and just see what happens. I don't know what to expect, though. I really don't. They have asked us to do certain things that I'm not necessarily able to say yet when it comes to getting on site. So maybe I'll be able to share those when I actually get there. But all I do know is if you think there are changes at Bonnaroo happening in GA, backstage, and Cineroo, man, the changes that are happening at Lollapalooza are just unbelievable. They're out of this world. The list is as long as I can give you a piece of paper. So I'll give you what I can on Thursday and Friday, and then we'll see what happens from there.
All right. I love it.
So let's get into this thing about the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones were added to Jazz Fest, and I didn't anticipate to spend much time on this, but I first thought that Stones being added to Jazz Fest was maybe one of the biggest additions in the history of American festivals, and then I remembered that they were already booked to do Jazz Fest in 2019. So this is just like them doing a make good, essentially. And then somebody on Twitter had this brilliant poll, and I had totally forgot it. Prince was a late ad at Coachella. Man, oh man, is that big. But the Stones going to Jazz Fest, all I know is what the external people say about it and feel about it and what New Orleans feels about it. Outside of New Orleans, you see Jazz Fest getting the Stones, and you say what, Barry?
I told you, getting the Stones for anything is the biggest ad in the history of whatever. I mean, they're the biggest band in the world.
I think Prince trumps it, but it's debatable.
No, I mean, personally, but I... No, the Stones are huge. The Stones are the biggest band in the world. And Prince is huge. I love seeing Prince. I love... But, okay, those are
two.
That
was the only show he did that year, man.
Yeah, but I saw him at Memorial Auditorium.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, I did.
Right. Okay, but point being, your feeling about the Stones getting added to Jazz Fest was one of euphoria. You thought it was
big,
massive.
It's huge.
Big.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
Well, this is what... Inside the city, there were two reactions. One, who cares? It's not going to happen because they're going to cancel it anyway. And then two, oh, they created a rich white guy day. Because what they did was they put the Stones on their very own day with no other band on the lineup, with nothing else happening. They put the Stones on Wednesday night, and for the low, low price of $189 for
as
a ticket.
Extra. Oh, as an extra. Okay. Wow.
You can walk in a Jazz Fest and have a blast. Wow. Eat some crawfish mac and cheese, baby.
Yeah. You know what you told me?
Now, if you want to upgrade it, you can. That's going to be an extra $300, $400. But they added a day for rich white people.
Wow. Okay. So it didn't go over well. Is that what you're saying?
I just don't think it was as much of an event as people thought. It'll do fine, but it just wasn't as much of an event as, you know, normal like festival guys think of it would be.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm starting to kind of be turned off on the whole Jazz Fest thing from what you've been telling me. It doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
Our type of fun, Barry. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's not a human being in this city that doesn't adore it and love it with everything that they have. You just have to reset your expectations for it.
Here's my thing then. Can I sit on your roof without any trouble and watch the Rolling Stones perform?
Well, first off, I ain't putting you on my roof. We are a good 50 feet in the air. You're not getting on my roof.
Well, then no. If I have to go to any trouble...
No, you can't sit on my roof. No, you can't do that. You could get close to... No, it's a massive fairgrounds. You couldn't even sit on a roof around the fairgrounds and watch it. This isn't the Chicago Cubs. You know, you can't... You don't get outfield seats in an apartment complex.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen them. I've never seen the Stones.
I haven't either, and maybe we get there, but I'm excited to see at least, you know, A, if it happens, and then B, you know, what kind of crowd they get.
I get what you're asking me. Does it change? How does it change the festival world? I don't know. Does it?
Well, you remember what I said a couple of months ago when they were putting out these lineups. I said, why not just put everybody on the fucking lineup? What does it matter? You know, right. if you have this expectation of it not happening, you might as well just book everybody.
Well, that was the other thing you had said about the lineup, the Jazz Fest. Did somebody come up with $3 million just so they could say they have the Stones on it? I mean, is it purely political or is it an actual...
Who's driving that train?
I don't know.
It's New Orleans Jazz and the Jazz Heritage Foundation, which is just rolling in money. These people just have so much money.
It kind of goes back to that whole thing. Doesn't matter because it ain't happening, which is funny.
It is. I mean that's a funny comment. There is a very... Look, the numbers here have just gone... They've just gone through the roof. And it's mostly because Louisiana is the worst vaccined state in the country.
Right. So they're going to... if it's 2 million or 3 million, they take their percentage, and then it doesn't happen because the numbers are up.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have you back next year. We'll have you back next year.
Mick never even gets
never
a haircut.
Never had to leave the house.
Yeah. Never got a haircut, you know, never left the house. That's good business.
The final thing that I wanted to bring up on this, yet again, this quick episode, this short one again.
which is always our longest.
Yeah, I know. It always happens. I watched the Woodstock 99 documentary.
Me too.
Oh, my God. God, I don't want to talk about this because I'll talk about it for another half an hour.
Yeah, do we need to do another show? Because I could. We really could.
Well, look.
We can do it tonight or we can do it later.
I'll just do top level stuff. So I had a couple of big takeaways. One was, you know, the misogyny and the
disgusting. Right?
It was disgusting, right? And, you know, a group of angry white kids screaming the N-word, you know. It's all awful. Our guy Brian Stone was there, and I told him
he was there. That's true.
I know, and I told him it's like nothing. You're the closest representation of what they said was there that I could have ever known. You are 20. You've been given everything in your life. You're upper middle class, and you're angry, and you don't know why.
Yeah, because your flannel doesn't fit right.
And that was the group of people, the 100,000 some odd kids that were there. So, yes, A, the misogyny was just hard to deal with. A group, 100,000 people screaming the N-word to a black man was just...
I wasn't. That was the least offensive.
I know. I'm just going through the list of stuff that really, really bothered me. At the same time, though, I can talk out of both sides of my mouth that was sort of the culture at the time. And I don't know if we are horrified so much as, you know, watching it back and saying, look at these people, what was wrong with them? Or are we looking back and horrified saying, look at all of us?
You know, yeah,
Limp Bizkit, just because Limp Bizkit sucks. But don't forget, they were like the biggest band in the world in 1998,
right. 1999. Yeah. My three quick things. The misogyny, the way women were treated is unbelievable. And what's stunning, well, it was stunning the way women were treated, but 3 years later, 2002, the first Bonnaroo, it changed. Women rule Bonnaroo.
Well, yeah, a lot of people will say that was the Band-Aid being ripped off. Was Woodstock 99 was sort of like the catalyst that ended all of the aggressive white male stuff of Kid Rock.
I think so. I mean, I showed up at Bonnaroo as a 40-something-year-old thinking, dang, these young women got it going on. And that's a whole nother topic we can get into. The other thing is...
Right, but stop there for a second. The organizers being so completely baffled and then blaming the women, even how many years later, still blaming the women for it.
He was clueless. He is clueless. He's an old guy. I mean, I'm not going to go there, but... Yeah, the nudity still happens at Bonnaroo, but nobody's given disrespecting the women. It's like if they want to be naked, they're naked. That's what I mean. It completely flipped in 3 years. Mm-hmm. So that's a point. The other point that stood out to me was the female reporter from Washington, MTV,
yeah,
who said this generation, the organizers of this event wanted to basically base it on what did they call it? In 1969, everybody had a something they were fighting against, and they wanted to import it on the 1999. Mm-hmm. And this generation had nothing they were fighting against.
That's right, because they were 20-year-old white kids, upper middle class,
given
white
everything
kids who were angry and they didn't know what they were angry about.
I didn't know what they were angry about. I thought that was such a great point.
But the reporter, so this is my other big takeaway. The reporters that were there, first off, you know, they kept blaming MTV a crowd of 100,000 kids who had to go to a payphone to make a phone call were watching MTV in the field.
Right, you know, couldn't get water.
How could you blame a field full of kids who can't even make a phone call or go to an ATM and blame MTV on their reaction? That is absurd and bizarre to me. Secondly,
that was revisionist, no
Barry,
question.
They were doing daily press conferences.
Yeah,
these guys were standing up and talking about this festival on a daily basis, which tells me, you know, there is a chasm between the backstage area and the regular, you know, the GA area in every festival.
Do we have that issue, Brad?
Did they not even stand on a stage? Did they not walk out to the crowd? Did they not know anything that was happening in that festival whatsoever that they decided to stand up in front of the press every day and answer questions about
and
it?
Talk about how great it was. No, I know, and you know, you and I have to be careful of that too, because we're, you know, backstage. But I don't think we're lost in it like they were.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm shouting somebody down for telling me that there's enough water. I mean, the woman basically, the journalist, the female journalist said these kids don't have water out there. And the guy basically responded with, well, we hooked up a hose.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. He was, look, I had forgotten.
Those guys should be in jail.
I had forgotten a lot of that. But it's funny. Our friend Trevin and David, you know, who now are friends of ours, been on our show, and they go to all kinds of festivals. They were like, yeah, you know what? If that's what would have been happening, I would never have gone to a festival.
Well, that's
I was like, me too. That's why I didn't go to 2007.
Well, here's
because
the thing.
That's what was in my head.
I know, but here's the thing. There was a time where Kid Rock came to Chattanooga to play at a place called The Bay. And there were 25 people there. There was nobody there as before.
And I think he brought Mini-Me. Mini-Me was out at Sky's. Wait, go ahead.
And 10 years later, when Kid Rock hit, it was like the whole city had been at that show. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing Kid Rock there.
Yeah, yeah, sure. No, it was.
I'm getting guys come out of the woodwork that I know all of the sudden they went to Woodstock 99. Now, I'm not going to like deny that they were there very well that they could, but. There was everybody that I've met that has been there or that was there rather. They said they didn't see any of that. They knew it was a shit show. They knew it was dirty. They knew they didn't have
really?
Any showers and they didn't have any water. But they didn't see any any of the raping. You know, they didn't. They saw like kids being kids, and half the audience is on acid. So how in the hell are they going to remember most of what anything that happened?
I can't disagree with that. The other thing is, there were like four or five main points that I took from it. One being the nostalgia for 1969. I mean, I was six at the time, and for most of my teenage years, I thought, man, I would have loved to have been at Woodstock. No, 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 no.
Well, that's the other thing that they say that I think that, there's even a documentary, I think, on Hulu that the majestic nature, the glorification of 69 Woodstock is just so sick to me. That was just as big of a shit
literally
show.
Literally a shit
was.
Show. Literally. That mud and all that.
Well, people, that was, that talk
that
about,
ain't mud.
We weren't supposed to get too deep in this, but man, how much did your stomach turn when you saw those kids jumping into puddles next to porta potties?
Yeah. And so,
hello,
exactly.
Dysentery.
No, thank you. And so I don't want any part of that. And, the whole Hendrix thing, people talk about it. He didn't play till Sunday morning, or Monday morning, even maybe. I think it was Monday morning, right? It was over. There's this whole nostalgia part of it. Woodstock 99, the same,
The other thing, too, by the way, they only had two stages. Imagine a music festival
surviving today
with two stages.
They were a mile apart on a concrete concourse.
Hysterical. Hysterical. It was just bad on every level.
Right. It's a great documentary for people
good.
Who have
it. It is so, so good.
Yeah. And if you're watching it and you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, why are these two guys still talking? That's not what it's like.
Well, hey, by the way.
They figured it out.
Well, no kidding. No festival is like that anymore, except for, the Fire Festival. But like that was written and directed and put together all by Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons started as a guy who just wrote about sports. The dude was just writing about the Celtics. He was a Boston sports writer. And then he turns around and has got a podcast corporation that's worth billions of dollars. The guy gets a deal with HBO and ESPN. He's a monster. And he's got a whole bunch of other music documentaries coming out over the rest of the month. I think he's doing Juice WRLD. He's going to do DMX. I think he's going to do the Studio 54, something like that. Maybe it's just disco. I can't remember. But there's a whole series of these documentaries coming. He's just so good. He's so, so good. So if you have any opportunity to watch this, please do. Because if you like music festivals and you like where, they have come, it started from that shit show.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, is it accurate? I mean, it's always through the lens of the teller. I don't know how much of the the misogyny and all that went on. I wasn't there. I just know that I've not seen any of that at Bonnaroo.
Well, if a woman walks by and she's putting her boobs out, what do you expect a guy to do?
I
wanted to punch him right through the stupid
How many times have you seen it and it's like, you know, good, go, bye, see you.
How many times have you seen some sort of redneck dude grab boobs at Bonnaroo? Never.
None.
Never.
None.
Do you know what else I've never seen at Bonnaroo? A fight.
I've never seen. I've said this.
I haven't seen a fucking bug. I haven't seen a bite. bite.
17 years. 17 years. I've only seen one crossword, and that was 2 years ago. And it was somebody in the yelling at his wife outside the festival.
Oh, that's funny.
First time. I've never seen a crossword.
Well.
You know,
this quick show only lasted 52 minutes, buddy. So we did it. Congratulations. It's the shortest show we've had.
I could do Woodstock for more. We need to revisit.
Well, that was our quick update of what's going to happen this week. Maybe we'll jump back in here and do an update on Lollapalooza. If not, Barry, thank you for your patience. And hopefully we get a schedule here soon.
Yeah. I think we should.
All right. Let me know if you hear anything.
I know we'll have Jeff Cuellar on to talk about details of Bonnaroo coming up soon. I'm looking forward to that because we haven't had that one in a long time.
Yeah, we haven't. It's been a year. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the What Podcast. Rate, review if you can. We'll talk to you later this week. Love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.